the opposition or conflict of your soul versus your spirit. That's why we have to be open to the movements of the spirit. Our soul must prosper so we're not on lockdown to religious thinking. Until the resurrection, all the life that could be offered was maintenance life. But after resurrection, after Jesus himself, the first fruit, died, was buried, resurrected, he opened up the way for us to live the life that he intended, the Zoe life. But the struggle, the challenge, the assignment is for our soul to prosper. We have to rid ourselves of thinking that stinks. And we can only do that through resurrection. You know, Lazarus stunk. But the time he came out that grave, he didn't. Come on. After 4 days, the body started to decompose. But when he came out, he wasn't nothing decomposed about him. He had been resurrected. He had another life. Everything Jesus did literally changed the atmosphere of the earth. That atmosphere that, and he's still here, but that atmosphere that we just experienced. Don't you ever just sit and watch. Don't you ever sit there silent. Don't you ever sit and not move. When he steps in here like that, do something crazy. Get up, holler, scream, cry, roll around. You're free to do that. Just don't hurt yourself or anybody else. We want to talk about something here, a transfer. We're going to talk a little bit about finances, about money, because there's something sovereign that's coming to you, towards you. It's going to overtake you. Amen. And it requires you to rest, not to be afraid. Not to be afraid when the Holy Spirit speaks to you to act. I always love to tell that story of the time that someone in the church, I won't say who, but they came and put a roll of money in my hand. I stood right over here. And they came up after the service, and I didn't see it. They just had it rolled. It was thick. It was a lot. And I was happy. And I put it in my pocket, shook hands, said, thank you, thank you. Just wanted to bless you. And no sooner they did that, someone came up on this side. And before they could say anything, God said, it's for them. And I wanted in my mind. See, God called me when I knew it was him. It's not like I could say, well, is that God? No, I knew it was him. See, what God wants to do is get stuff through you. Come on, I say he will test you. He'll test your mettle to see if he can get something through you before he'll get it to you. And thank God, I knew it was him, and I'm afraid that when I know it's him, I'm afraid to disobey. Because, you know, when you know it's him, ain't no excuse. And I don't want to suffer the consequences. I don't want to miss what he's doing. I don't want him to put me on the shelf. I want him to say, well done. Don't you want that? For God to tell you, well done. That day, it got through me. I didn't even look at it. My heart got heavy for a moment. But then I said, no, that was God. So something had to be coming. There's a purpose behind that. That was God. That wasn't just me. Because if that was me, it would have remained in that pocket. But this is important. There's a transfer coming. Position, favor, honor, resources, money, health. I'm telling you, there's a transfer coming towards you like that Lamborghini. Loaded with that pertains to your destiny. Now, between the time it overtakes you and now, there can be conflict. But what you're dealing with now has nothing to do with your destiny as far as where you are going. It's not dictating. Tell somebody what you might be suffering right now. It's not dictating your destiny. Tell somebody ain't nothing but a thing. This too shall pass. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. But in the midst of it, guess what? God is watching you. He's still close to you. Seeing if you'll still embrace him or like Israel, will you start blaming him and pushing him away? Or will it cause you to be driven closer to him? God often uses finances to show, number one, favor. Aren't you glad when someone blesses you financially? Say amen for real. Especially when it's a surprise. God often used finances to show favor. He'll use finance to bless obedience. And he'll use it to prove his sovereignty. You can't be God-given. I wish some of us would learn the way of prosperity. Our soul first has to prosper. See, we can't be yielded to the stingy demons. I'll just use this. I ain't going to use the amount. Late last night, we came in from Atlanta, my wife and I, and we were at the car rental place, Avis, where I'm a preferred customer, by the way. And when we came out of the airport, the Avis shuttle was leaving, and it was late, and you know, ain't no telling when they're gonna come back. So as soon as we came out, I went to wave in my hand like this, and they went by, but I saw the guy look. And there was another shuttle there, and so he stopped down the way. I said, "Babe, come on, let's go." So we ran over, and he said, "I saw you waving." And he said, "I stopped." And so we got the went in, got the car running. It was late last night, and the guy was sitting out on the bus. He came in. Yeah, I just knew God was going to speak to me about something, you know. And my wife had asked me when we got up, she said, "You leave him a tip?" I said, "No, I didn't even know what was in my wallet." And so he came in again, and I knew God was messing with my mind. Okay, Lord, what? And then I heard the Lord say, "Give him what's in your wallet." And my wallet was in my briefcase. So I opened it up, and I said, "Lord, this," I thought, "Lord, this, I ain't give him this no tip." "Lord, this can't be the tip." But again, I was arrested. I knew it was the Lord. I was tired. I couldn't use it as an excuse. It was all that was in my wallet. I couldn't use that as an excuse. So he went back, got back on the bus, and I knew. See, he just sitting there. It was like God has stopped time. And like he's just watching. You know, just seeing if, you know, what you gonna do, boy? I told my wife, I said, "Wait a minute." I pulled it out the wallet. I went, knocked on the bus. I said, "Hey, just amen. Thanks for waiting for us." And I don't know that he didn't even look at it until, but he was very, very thankful. But God will try you to prove you. Because see, it's not about what you have, it's what God can get through you. Will you obey? See, wealth and these things are oftentimes used to bless obedience. And let's talk a little bit about finance. How many know all wealth belongs to God? Amen. Not to the system, not to your job, not to the corporation, not to the economy. It belongs to our Father. All wealth. We are to use this to promote the gospel. If you have $1 million or $100 million vision, then it's required that God get to you $100 million. But let me say it this way, and there's nothing wrong with this, if you have a $5 vision, what do you need $100 million for? You buy an island somewhere and start a church? No, as pertains to your vision, so is your provision. The $5 vision is not wrong. If there's an elderly mother that doesn't get out much but has a vision to do something, be a blessing to the body of Christ, and that's all, and I'm not saying $5, but that's all she needs, God will provide that. If the vision requires $100 million, God will provide that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's not about greed. It's about what's convenient. It's about what's necessary. It's not about greed, being a greedy Gus. You know, a greedy Gus will be the first in the food line. When they walk away, their plate is stacked. Ain't no banana pudding left. And ain't but one person went through the line. Greedy Gus. It's not about greed. Come on, some of you religious folk, you can laugh. That may be where your healing hides. All God wants you to do is laugh. And all of a sudden, well, I can move my leg again. Hallelujah, because you laughed. Three great wealth transfers in history. All in the Bible. Now, let me say this. A wealth transfer begins with a dream. If you're not a dreamer, you need to ask God, Lord, give me a dream. All of us should have aspirations for God. Tell somebody, ask God, give you a dream. You see, a dream from God is not your dream, it's His dream. See, we take too much ownership of stuff when in actuality we are stewards. That great vision that God has given you is His vision for your life. Oh, I feel a Holy Ghost up here right now. I said that dream is not something that you have to try to make happen, that you concocted in your mind. That dream came from God. That's what God wants from your life. So God has to perform it. The Lord has to bring it to pass. Thank you for listening. To order today's message or for more information about our church, contact us at 772-465-0036 or toll free at 1-877-TR-BANKS. Our service times are Sundays, 8:30 a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m. Join us in our midweek service, Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. All services are live streamed.